Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another time of refreshing. So we're going to continue from where we stopped last week. We started on the topic, the invitation, and we took our text from the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Praise the Lord. And we started by rightly dividing the word of truth by looking through the main words in that scripture, "come boldly." Praise the Lord. And I recall we read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1, which is an invitation to those who are spiritually bankrupt. And we also read from John chapter 7 verse 37, if Jesus inviting the lost sheep. Praise the Lord. And then we looked at the book of Esther. Esther chapter 5 verses 1 through to 2, which gives us an illustration of how to visit a king physically. Praise the Lord. And then we went through to Daniel chapter 9 verses 23, revealing how spiritually we can approach our king through prayer. And then I remembered that we asked a question, is there any danger coming to the throne of grace? We all gave our different answers and from our own understanding. But I'd like to tell us that the truth of about it is that God is waiting for us to come to Him. He's waiting for us to approach the throne of grace. He's waiting. He's the one who has let out the invite. He's waiting for us to have communion and also have fellowship with Him. That fellowship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. And so we're going to continue from the book of Revelation chapter 4 verses 1 through to 2. Praise the Lord. It says, "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now this is John that having a revelation, from the revelation where the letters were given to the different seven churches. And then he went into a deeper realm in which he got into the throne of grace. Praise the Lord. Now, the first thing that we notice is that he was standing in front of an open door, depicting access. And then he heard a voice beckoning that he comes here. Praise the Lord, which is an invite, which is an invitation. And then he saw a spirit on the throne. Now we have an understanding that a throne is a kind of or a type of chair that is meant for kings. Only kings are permitted to sit on it. And it represents power, authority, and rulership. Praise the Lord. And then he said from verse 2, "And there was one who sat on the throne." Now, who is this one who sat on the throne? Let's go to verse 3. He says, "And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance." Jasper is a kind of stone. They are like diamonds. And they come in different colors. Praise the Lord. "And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald." An emerald is a shade of green. "Around the throne were 24
thrones, and on thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in the back. Praise the Lord. Now, from the description that John gave, you could tell that these stones, the jasper and the sardius stones, they are beautiful, precious stones. Hallelujah. And these stones represent majesty. These stones, they are like, jasper is a kind of diamond. Praise the Lord. If you read further, I think in chapter 5, you will see that he said that these stones were clear as crystal, depicting the holiness of one who sat on the throne. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he said, through the emerald, he could see a rainbow. And that rainbow represents mercy and grace. And it represents covenants. Praise the Lord. And this covenant, if we go back to the book of Genesis, it represents the covenant which God had with Noah when they came out, or after they came out from the flood. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Now this throne represents the throne of all thrones, and the kings of all kings sit upon, and he is sovereign over all the universe. Psalm 47 verse 8 says, God reigns over the nations, and God sits on the holy throne. Praise the Lord. Now the throne room is a deep dimension in the spiritual. The throne room is where you stay to commune with God. The throne room is where you come in worship, where you come in prayer. Praise the Lord. The throne room experience is a moment, is a lifestyle of deep intimacy with God. It is where revelations and transformation happens. Simply put, it refers to the deep spiritual encounter that a believer has with the presence, glory, and authority of God. Now, this encounter is not limited to you being in the church. It can happen anywhere. It can happen in your room. It can happen in your car. It can happen just about any place. Praise the Lord. It happens especially when your heart has become like a sanctuary for him. Now, we cannot talk about the throne room experience without having to talk about the secret place. Praise the Lord. From the secret place, you have an understanding of what happens in the throne room. Glory to God. I'd like to give us an example where Moses, in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 19, Moses went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, and then he stayed with God. And after which, he had an encounter. He had a revelation. And the scripture says in chapter 20, the laws were given to him. Praise Master Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah also had an encounter in the throne room. Praise the Lord. Shall we go to Isaiah chapter 6? We'll read from verse 1. In the
year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple too. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." This is telling you that the throne room is a place of worship. Praise the Lord. And then the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. That's the glory of the Lord. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Praise the Lord. He had an encounter. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah, from this scripture, if you read from the very first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah had been ministering. Isaiah had been having revelation. But after this encounter, he entered into another dimension with God in terms of the revelations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture says in Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Praise the Lord. I said that we cannot talk about the throne room experience without having to mention the secret place. Now the scripture says, he who dwells, who makes the presence of the Lord his or her habitation. He didn't say who comes as a visitor, as a guest, but one who dwells there, one who stays there, is a place of intimacy. That's the secret place, a place of intimacy, a place where you commune with God, is a place where you stay, like a private place where you build relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the secret place and the throne room, they are different dimensions of our relationship with God. But both of them, they lead us into a deeper dimension with God. Hallelujah. In the secret place, you go to God as your Father. But when you are in the throne room experience, you go to God as the King of Kings. Now, both of these dimensions, dimensions, they are progressive in that the secret place, there's a way you fellowship, there's a way you brew, there's a way you have communion with God. And then the Lord transports you by the help of the Holy Spirit. He takes you into another dimension, but you have to stay. You have to stay and build. You have to stay and build capacity in the secret place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the secret place is a spiritual posture for your hearts. In that scripture where we read, Isaiah said that his lips are unclean. He says his lips are unclean. So the secret place is a spiritual posture for your heart. Because daily as you commune with God, as you fellowship with God, you are being transformed from within your spirit man. Hallelujah. Can I go ahead? Now the secret place is like a pathway to the throne room. Without the secret place, you cannot access the throne room. I said earlier that the secret place is a place where you cultivate intimacy. You cannot carry the glory of the throne without the intimacy
in the secret place. Now, the secret place draws you closer to God. While the throne room, it gives you access into his presence, into his glory, and then he sends you forth. He gives you a revelation. You could see that when John had this revelation, the Lord began to unveil things, began to take him into a deeper revelation. Hallelujah. So invariably, the throne room is a place where after you have subjected, it's a spiritual experience where your spirit man has been so subjected that you easily access the presence of our God. Hallelujah. Now, in the throne room, you know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 27, we quoted that last week, that a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from above. Praise the Lord. It's in the throne room that everything that happens in your life actually do take place. Praise the Lord. Because it is the center where the entire universe is being controlled from. Now, how do you step into the throne room? How do you step into the throne room? What are the steps that you have to take? Number one, you have to be... Number one, being aware of God's presence. Acknowledging his omnipresent nature. And how can you acknowledge that? Living with a heart of gratitude. Living with deep reverence. And seeing every moment to be an opportunity to glorify God. Another step is to cultivate consistency in prayer. That's why you have to dwell in the secret place. Another is living a life of holiness, because purity attracts presence. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says that we are seated with him in the heavenly realm and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is establishing your position. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Establishing your position and finding rest in the finished work of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Understanding that you have the authority. Am I too fast? Okay, sorry about that. Understanding your position of rest in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what is happening around you, understanding that you already have the authority given to you if you are seated with him in the heavenly places. So it means that you have to establish your seat in the position that God, that Jesus has given to man through the finished work of the cross. Now, another is to focus your mind on the throne. Now, this is a consciousness that you have to shift your focus away from being a victim to being a victor. Thereby exercising your spiritual authority. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. So instead of you going to God begging, you go and speak with authority. That is why he says, come boldly to the throne of grace in time where you need help. Hallelujah. Another step is to cultivate boldness and audacity. And this comes with your faith. Jesus says, if you have faith as small as the mustard seed. The mustard seed faith is all that Jesus requires from you. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So we cultivate boldness and audacity. Approaching the throne with confidence. Because he says we should come when we need help. His arms are open. He says he's a very present help in time of need. And so we don't go like one who doesn't understand who he or she is in Christ. But sadly, that's the position and the situation that many believers are today. We do not understand who we are. We do not understand the rights that we have. And it's as a result of many of us not staying in the secret place. Going into the throne room is moving away from surface Christianity, because you attain a certain spiritual level for you. Listen, I know that some of us, a few of us might have had an encounter, a deep revelation that you might not understand what you saw. But then, let me give us a practical example of what I'm saying. It is not far-fetched from each and every one of us. I remember when I was trying to get a word concerning element of charis, I had to tarry with the Lord. I had to stay in the secret place. I waited on the Lord, and then on the 13th day, I had this revelation in which I saw a very old man, who began to tell me things. This man looked so frail, with long beards, all white. He looked so frail that in the revelation, I felt I needed to help him. But the words that he was saying proved that he didn't need any help from me. Praise the Lord. And at the end of the day, what he said to me gave me some form of boldness physically. And what was this word that this man said? He said, I am time all by myself. I can be at any place and at any time. And I can do anything that I choose to do. And I walk out from that revelation trembling. And when I remembered after telling Pastor everything that I saw, he referred me to Acts chapter 1 verse 7. God being the custodian of time. Praise the Lord. And then I also recall that my daughter told me she had a dream one day. And then she saw this man. And then there were people around this man. They were singing. They were not looking like an ordinary man. They were singing and praising God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a throne room experience where you see yourself in a place where you cannot define what you are seeing. Just as Isaiah began to describe what he saw, Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, he also saw the same revelation. He also experienced the throne room experience. He began to describe what he saw. He began to describe the one who was seated on the throne. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're talking about the steps. Another step is for you to make worship your lifestyle. Make worship your lifestyle. From verse 10 of Revelation chapter 4, he says the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." We sang that worship song as we were worshiping this evening. Praise the Lord. Now, when your heart becomes a place of worship, your heart becomes a living altar. Do not forget that the scripture says that we are the temple. God dwells in us. So your heart becomes a living altar when you make worship your lifestyle. Not negating or forgetting your place in the secret place. You will definitely experience the throne. Now, can I ask us a question? Hallelujah. If you practice stillness, can we experience this throne room experience or encounter? Can we? Do you have an understanding that what happened in the book of Matthew chapter 17 was a throne room experience for Jesus? Matthew chapter 17. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. His glory, his presence, his majesty was revealed to the disciples that were with him. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. The disciples experienced it. They saw him in his original form. So as believers, if we practice stillness, can we have this encounter? Question? Who is ready to speak? Who is ready to speak? Hello? Sister Roberta? Minister Roberta? You know why I called you? You know. Okay. Hallelujah.
Praise Master Jesus. I believe that we can still experience that throne room experience when you are still, when you don't allow anything trouble you, but your mind is just focused on God. Like everything around you is more or less like you are meditating. So you are at a place or in a place with him. You are communing with him. You're not singing, but your heart and everything around you is just geared towards him. And definitely he will take you to that place.
Hallelujah. Who is ready to speak again? Hello. It's Bible study. Hello. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't know, like, but my own, I want to use my own way of the way I can get to that place, the realm. Praise the Lord. I see it as a realm because there's a way
I'll
worship. And when, like, there's a time, there's a way I will worship, and I'll get to a particular place that I'm no longer feeling my own self or feeling my own lips. And everything about me will be like, I'll be here, but what I'm seeing is something else. Like, everywhere will be clouded, like, you know, just in a way as if I'm moving into a direction of which I don't have I'm not the one controlling myself. Yes, there is a force controlling me. And as at that time, I'm very sensitive, like, I fears and every kind of part. Though I will still be here. But if I can have an ability to just speak your words, it will come out in tongues and in flames and all that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Can somebody else? Hallelujah. Element of charis. Do we not experience secret place? Do we not stay there? Secret place is a place where you commune, where power flows into you, and where you practice stillness, where you meditate, and where you hear the voice and the Holy Ghost speaking and giving you direction. Like he said, one thing we need to understand is that worship opens us up. Worship. It opens us up, and it opens up the heavenly doors. Hallelujah. Are we in agreement? Worship opens up the heavenly doors. And what you describe is you experiencing God's glory, because that's what happens. That's what takes place in the throne room. You experience his presence. You experience his glory. His glory is that cloud that you described, that you saw. You experience it. Now you live above making worship as a routine. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes like food to you. And thereby, if you can cultivate the habit of always worshiping, you will always find yourself in a particular realm where your spirit man is light. The Bible says that Jesus says in John chapter 4 verse 24 that he's seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshipping him in spirit and in truth is you subjecting your flesh. You would have stayed so long in the secret place, and then your flesh dies, and then your spirit begins to control you. And then when worship comes, it makes it very easy for you to access into the realm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. We've talked about the steps. Now, this is how do you apply it to you? How do you apply this throne room experience? How do you apply it to you? We're being practical now. How do you apply it from everything that we've been learning since last week? We started by the invitation. And Revelation chapter 4 is an invitation that the Holy Spirit gave to John. So how do we apply it to ourselves? How do we apply it to ourselves? Pastor Light.
Praise the Lord. How do we apply the experience or the encounter to our life?
It's an encounter.
Okay. Nobody have an encounter with God without God telling him or her.
We can't hear you, please. Sorry.
Nobody have an encounter with God without him relating one or two stuff to the person. Probably, for example, if you have an encounter and then he takes you up, there must be something he will communicate to you. And that thing he communicates to you, if it's for you to practice it, or it's for you to drop that thing or add it, you start immediately. So it can be applicable to us when you practice what you have been told from the secret place or from the throne room.
Hallelujah. Can somebody else speak? Who else? Who wants to give a try? Pastor. No hiding place for you.
But please, I didn't really get the question.
How can you apply the encounter to your life? The throne room encounter.
You can simply apply it by what you experienced. Definitely, you're going to encounter circumstances that will need the experience that you got from that place. So it is simply to just, I don't want to use the word apply again. Just what you've learned, use it.
Praise the Lord. Now, invariably, the throne room encounter, it sets you up for empowerment. It equips you for every encounter that you have from the throne room. It brings about transformation. You cannot have an encounter and remain the same. So many of us that have had that encounter, we have not done what we are supposed to do. We have not carried out the instruction that was given to us in that room. Because you cannot assess, the Holy Ghost can't take you up to that particular realm, and then you come back remaining yourself. There must be, listen, the throne room experience, it sets you on an assignment. It sets you on assignments. So it means many of us that have told me or related what you have dreamt, you have not carried out the instruction that was given to you. The Lord cannot show you his glory, and then you remain the same. You say something, brother, that you see a cloud. It takes you into a path. And I am very sure that he gives you divine direction on what to do on a particular matter, or he gives you a mandate to carry out. So it means you've not done. He laughs. So it means that you haven't carried or obeyed any of the instruction that was given to you. You don't just get into that realm and remain the same. No, you don't get into that realm and remain the same. Because it empowers and it sets you for an assignment. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, I have a question.
Okay.
So, staying in the presence or studying, praying, and having—I don't know how to put it. Praise God. The question I want to ask is: is it always about the feeling? Because for me, sometimes there's that ambience, there's that feeling.
Aura
around. Uh-huh. But sometimes it's just there. You're just studying. And so is it only when you have that feeling that you experience or you are changed? Or there's just, if the feeling is there, the feeling is not there, it's still the same thing. That's what I want to ask.
Now, it starts by you dwelling in the secret place. It starts by daily communing with Him. Daily communing with Him is through your prayers, being consistent in your prayers, meditating on His word, walking in obedience. Walking in obedience. Because it's in the secret place that you generate power for yourself. You generate power in the secret place. Now, you also, in the secret place, come to a point where you begin to build boldness. That's the generating of the power. You build boldness, understanding who you are. So, if you have that aura around you, do you practice stillness? Because the aura comes to you, you begin to feel some either cold, or you begin to feel some numbness sometimes, or you begin to feel like someone is standing by you. Now, what then do you do? What then do you do? That's when you shut your heart to all of the noise around you. And you can only do that when you have subjected your flesh so much in the secret place that everything around you becomes silent for you to hear His voice, for you to know. You can then begin to discern what kind of spirit is around you. This encounter, you cannot predict when it comes. Is solely by the Holy Spirit and solely of how much intimacy you have groomed in that secret place. So you cannot say, okay, because I've been praying for 2 weeks, I have to ascend. No, don't forget, the Lord is the one who sees the heart of every man. Praise the Lord. Any other question? Because I am done.
Praise the Lord. I wanted to add something pertaining to what she said. I think that I've experienced something relating to what she was saying about sometimes not just feeling to, like, let me say, practice the presence of God, not just feeling like praying, not just feeling like studying. It's like you are there praying and everything, but you are not feeling anything. It's like you are forcing your flesh to do it. So I wanted to add something that helped me a lot. There was, when I was still growing, I'm still growing. Actually.
You finished growing?
No. let me say, months back, when I first started the journey, okay. Yes, when I first started the journey, there was a time that I was praying. Sometimes you will just feel it. He comes and it's like the prayer session is so filled with the Spirit. Sometimes it's like you are just talking to the walls in your room. You are just talking to yourself. So there was one time
you cannot just be talking to yourself. It means that your spirit is not there.
It's like I'm trying, but I'm not feeling anything. So, no, I'm not trying to gain... how do I... I'm not... I want to add something to what I think that she was experiencing. My own was that the Holy Ghost told me that what we have is more than feeling. So you can't say that because you don't feel like praying, you won't pray. Because you are not feeling it. There is like, there was something that the psalmist said in Psalm 80. He said that, Psalm 80 verse 17 says, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou hast made it strong for thyself. He says that, verse 18. So we will not go back from thee. Quicken us, so we will call upon thy name. So he like ministered to me that if I'm not feeling it in that place in prayer, I will stay there till I feel it. So that was something that really helped me. And that popular scripture when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," it was like David was commanding his spirit man to bless God. Though he was like, I'm talking about how he ministered to me at that time. So it was like, if I'm in the place of prayer and I'm trying, I'm not feeling anything, I will stay there till I feel something before I leave. So I feel like that was what he was saying when he says, quicken me so we will call upon thy name, so we will not return from thy presence.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hold on. Sister Aretha wants to say something.
Praise the Lord. I just feel in this, everybody has different experience. But I want to ask a question. Are we saying that we must always feel something? Like, we must feel cold? Because there are times when I've not felt cold. It comes in different.
It comes in, and you cannot limit it to a particular way that the Holy Spirit comes.
Exactly. So you saying that you had to stay in the place of prayer and you had to make sure that you start feeling that sensation. I have been in church one day and Pastor Sir was preaching and I was practically hearing things, and he was preaching. I know Pastor Sir was ministering, but I was not hearing.
You were no longer
in service, but I knew I was hearing a lot of things, and it was so loud that day in church. So it's not limited to you feeling this cold sensation. Yes, sometimes maybe as you're growing or as it starts, you feel this kind of sensation.
That's
like,
why it's a realm you get to.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Please let her, she's been putting up her hand.
Praise God. I know they've answered though. Me, I will still try to see answer to you too. Then Pastor Mawi round it up. Okay, first of all, it's not about the feeling. If you are feeling like, I've not started feeling the Holy Ghost, then you are still there until you feel him. That already is already flesh. Because you can't tell the Holy Spirit how he wants to do you. Sometimes in service, some of us that the Holy Spirit uses us flagrant. I never see you use Pastor my flagrant, Pastor Sir flagrant. Doesn't mean they don't get the power. No. Sometimes it is the choirs will sing here. They are singing. I am hearing what God is telling me. Sometimes it's what he tells me that breaks me loose from my comfort zone. Sometimes is I hear the song differently. That is what breaks me. I burst into a cry. I'm giving instances, okay? Sometimes Pastor Man will be saying something here. What he's telling me is different. He's giving, Pastor Man is just preaching. He's giving me from her words, giving me solution of what I am facing at home. Sometimes Pastor Sir will be talking, even though when he just talk. There's a way pastors are just talk. He will just be smiling and be talking. If you are not sensitive enough, you think he's just talking casually. But he's saying something. Inside that casual thing he's saying, there's something inside. Do you understand? So if it's not about you feel one thing. Like me, when I started having fellowship with God, the way he did me was different. The way I saw do all that, but it was different. The same way, the way God handled my matter when he wants to deal with me is different. So everybody has their own different way. You are not the one that will tell the Holy Spirit, this is how I want to feed them. I will know that you are here. No.
Praise the Lord. One thing about
no, see the man in front of you.
All right, thank you, Pastor Ma. According to this invitation, last week, Wednesday, You know, there's three scriptures that has been disturbing me about this invitation of a thing. I don't know if the media can help us, ma. Firstly, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the last one is Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Only those who call on the name of the Lord, only those who the Lord God has chosen will be saved. So, Pastor Ma, these three scriptures now, talking about invitation.
What?
Invitation, coming into the throne of grace. Now, are we saying that we coming into, like, is only those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved? And the other part, only those who the Lord has chosen will be saved? Or not everyone who call on the name of the Lord will be saved? I don't know if you can throw more light on that scripture, ma'am.
Okay. You want to say something? Okay.
Praise God. So I may not really answer your question per se, but I just want to draft out a very scenario. Myself and Pastor Light, we are having a convert. Oh no, Pastor Light visits me in the morning, and then I was about to take a cup of tea. And then I said, okay, go make for her. And then they brought a cup of tea, and I said to her, I said, Pastor Light, that is your cup of tea. And then another day, we were talking in church, just making random jokes. And then I said to her, it is your cup of tea. Same phrase, different meaning based on context. So we cannot say that those three things were... The Bible never contradicts itself. You just do not understand it yet. So the reason I said I may not answer your question is because I don't think we would have the luxury of time to want to now read in context what each of them mean. But Romans chapter 10, that talks about whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we should read contextually, it basically talks about salvation. Any man who believes in the works of Jesus. So, if we should read the other context, you will not understand where the writer has been coming or is coming from. Praise God.
Pastor Two wants to talk.
Praise the Lord. I want to just break it down to number one, that romance is for the unbelievers, for everybody in the world. The second one is specifically for the believers, those that have already received. And then the last one, when he said, it is those that he chooses that will be saved. He's just talking about those set of believers that have maybe grown a reprobate heart. They have refused, they have blasphemed. And then he said, I will show compassion to whom I will show compassion to. So it all depends on the hearts. You can have a reprobate mind today, and then maybe in the evening, you repent of it truly. The only reason why you would repent and no longer be blasphemous is because first, the Lord has shown you mercy. There are some persons that they will not receive that mercy, just like Judas Iscariot. They will not receive that mercy. That is my own explanation. Praise the Lord.
Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, I just want to... Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that what you feel, the encounter that you have, or what you do would absolutely depend on relationship now. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It will depend on the relationship and how much you've been able to fellowship with Him. I will give an example, Light and Ife stand up. I'll just give an example with these two people. Let me assume that these people, they are my friends. Praise God. And I love Ife more than I love light. Praise God. This will determine, this love that I have for them will determine the way I relate with them. Is that correct? It means because I love Ife more, you realize that I will tilt towards her. I would want to relate with her more. I want to deal with her more. And the possibility that Ife will understand me more is there. Unlike how that I relate with light. Do you get my point? Now, this is how that it happens when we talking about encounter and how that we understand this kind of fellowship and different kinds of realm. Praise God. There are, depending on your understanding and how that you love God, God is looking for someone who loves him, who worships, who will carry out an instruction that is given to him. When he gives you an instruction and you are willing to carry out, God would always relate with you and give you more of what that he wants you to do. Praise God. And this is where it has to do with your heart. You know, that those scriptures that that brother mentioned, they have different, of course, they are all in different contexts. Praise God. And they're well explained there. You know, talking about those who have believed, talking about those who are actually, they are already with God. They are already with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost can easily use them. They can never disobey. And that is the God, those who will be saved are those whom he has already chosen. Those are the kind, the people that will never disobey. God already knows them. Praise God. It is not every believer. There are many of us that pretend. I hope you are aware. Many of us pretend. You know, we are not what we are. And so, and God knows us. And he says, it's not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord that will be saved. Who are those people? They are the people who are not what they say they are. They only call upon that name, but they are not, they don't know him. Their heart is not there. Praise God. They call on him, but they don't know him. That's also an explanation. So this will actually depend also on our relationship with the Holy Ghost. How that the Holy Ghost relates with us. Praise God. And that's exactly when you talk about dealing with your flesh. The more of your flesh you deal with, the more that that relationship will be more. Because the Holy Ghost will be, you will have, that accessibility will be there. Praise God. And then you have more of the encounter. It is not when you have eaten eba and you are snoring and all of that. Holy Ghost even talking to you, you are not hearing. You're not hearing. He's not concerning you. Praise God. So I think that we have to be very careful and understand how that the Holy Ghost relates with us, how that we deal with our flesh, the kind of love that we have for him. You see, you can't operate with God if you don't love God. You cannot operate with God. God will not be able to operate with you in the manner if you do not love him. God is looking for people that will love him. Praise God. Not for what they want to get from him, but you have this genuine love for him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we rise to our feet? Can we rise to our feet? Let's begin to exalt the name of the Lord. Asking the Holy Ghost to help you. Asking the Holy Ghost to help you subject your flesh. That you want to have more of him. You want to have an encounter. You want to have the throne room experience. In any way that your flesh has been causing a drift for you, ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to worship in spirit and in truth. Let every form of hypocrisy come to an end. Every form of pretense. That you're able to access the throne in all boldness and confidence. For you to accept the invites. That you will not be a castaway in the presence of the Lord. That you will not be a castaway. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you make worship a lifestyle. That you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Not as a routine, but as a lifestyle. The scripture says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Ask the Lord to help you. You calling on the name of the Lord and the Lord revealing the things that you do not know is an invitation to come into His presence, to fellowship, to commune with Him. Ask Him to make your heart a fertile ground. Ask Him to make your heart a fertile ground. A fertile ground for His word. Ask the Lord to help you to walk in obedience. Understanding your place. Understanding your place in Him. Ask the Lord to make your hearts His sanctuary. Ask the Lord to make your heart His sanctuary. To be a worthy vessel unto honor. Thank you, Jesus. Mandehila brada gadozi atahale brado jada. I stand. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord help us. May the Holy Spirit help us. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.